Grant us thankful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the Gospel for the day. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and from verse 11. And I want to speak on verse 17. And Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now you'll see in verse 11, it came to pass, that means we don't know very much about it, and the geography is very vague of how this all happened. As he went to Jerusalem, this is our Lord's last journey. He's going to walk about 120 miles. Now I want to ask you, how far have you walked and suffered for the Lord Jesus? How far have you travelled for him? I want you to remember that as far as we can tell, our Lord made about 130 preaching journeys, and that he walked in that time something like 2,444 miles. That's what we can work it out as. He spent his life preaching in the villages and teaching. Now I just want to ask you, I know a lot of people can't and could not possibly do feats like this, but are you prepared to really put yourself out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he put himself out for you, and there's no mistake about it. Now, what he did was this. It says he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now Galilee is further from Jerusalem than Samaria. So why do they put it this way? Well, the Authorized Version uses a word which means he went straight through the middle. But there is a variation of the word which is used in some ancient manuscripts, which I don't myself hold to, but others do, which means that he passed along the borders of both, between them. Now, if he did that, he went down to the city of Sevopolis, which is the old city of Shechem, and there he crossed the bridge over the Jordan, and then went down the Jordan on the west bank, and then crossed back again in the fords opposite Jericho. That was quite a regular thing for pilgrims to do. And the reason he did it was this. When the Jews wanted to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, they found their way barred by the Samaritans. Now the Samaritans were Jews, or half-Jews, who had been deported by the Assyrians in 722, and some had been allowed back, and but other heathens had come in with them, and they worshipped the other gods. And there were lions among them, so the king allowed one of the priests of God, one of the Jewish priests, to come back and teach them. So this Jewish priest taught them something like the law. And one of the oldest copies of the law in the world is on Mount Gerizim, where the temple of these Samaritans is. Now these Samaritans didn't like the Jews, because they had cleansed themselves of a lot of idolatry and wanted to be counted as Jews. You and I are not at liberty to bring in with us everybody who says they'd like to be a Christian, because some of them have not the least intention. They have other religion really inside them, and we are not to make common cause with them. We're to be very careful about it. Now the Jews wouldn't let the Samaritans worship God with them. They said, "You have failed." You remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. He said, "That woman, ye know not what ye worship, but for salvation is of the Jews." He definitely claimed that all salvation belonged to the Jews and none to the Samaritan temple. That's why the Samaritans hated the Jews. So when it was a feast and Jesus was walking to a feast in Jerusalem, the Passover, the Samaritans got upset Because what the Jews were virtually saying was, we are crossing your land because you are nothing to do with God and nothing to do with his religion, and going up to Jerusalem where we really have the religion of God. Now they couldn't avoid saying that. And shortly after this time, Josephus tells us that there was a large number of pilgrims massacred by the Samaritans. But on the other hand, the Jews were a proud lot, and weren't afraid of calling the Samaritans dogs and outcasts and heathen. And of course that upset things. So there was very bad blood between the two. Now Jesus came down through either the edge or the middle, we're not sure which, because the geography isn't very exact, and he entered into a certain village. Now, it's likely the village was Samaritan, although we can't tell. Our Lord was a normal man, and when he got to the village, he stopped to rest. Now, beggars, and they include a lot of very sick people if you're in the Middle East, tend to congregate round the villages or round the towns. When the bus went along the towns in Morocco, at the bus stops came all the people who had no legs and one eye, or were blind, or were dragged on little carts, or dragged themselves along on a piece of carpet with stumps of legs. And they're all these sad people came and tried to get alms, and the beggars have never been any different. So here you've got a whole lot of these people together. They were the whole lot trying to get something to eat and to beg off the pilgrims going up. Now, the lepers all hung out together. 10 was a large number. But you will find that leprosy, whatever we're told not to say it, is a type of sin. It is a very exact type of sin, although one has to admit that the leprosy of the Old Testament went wider than just leprosy. It included other skin diseases which were catching, but there was leprosy as a type of sin. And you will find that when people want to have a rave up, they get together. When people want to behave badly, they get to a nightclub together. When people want to do wrong things, they congregate together. They do it as in a crowd. That is why the Bible says we're not to hasten with a crowd to do evil. You can't say at the end, oh well, I did it because all the others did it. You're a man on your own. And you've got to make your own choice and stand your own way. So people tend to sin in large numbers. You listen to them all roaring away together at some dirty song or something. They get it all together. Now, no doubt that the old people in the Old Testament thought of leprosy as a punishment from God. You remember Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Well, Gehazi, you remember, did something very wicked, and and the prophet said to him, let the leprosy of Naaman cleave to thee forever. And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. The first thing leprosy does is to affect all the skin and make it abnormally white. So that it was always regarded as a punishment. It was a terrible disease. Leviticus 13 tells us how they had to show themselves to the priest and how the priest could tell it was leprosy. But once a person was fixed as a leper by the priest, he had to live apart. They lived just anywhere, in little groups, very sad little groups. Then it was a terrible thing. Thompson, in The Land and the Book, Thompson was an American chaplain who went out to Palestine in about, I think, 1813. And he said he'd spent 14 years in Jerusalem without meeting the lepers. But he went down to the leper colony deliberately. And he said, I was physically sick at what I saw. He said, there were these people in their filth and their rags. They had to hang something over their mouths so they wouldn't breathe on anything else and anyone else. And they had to shout, unclean, unclean, as they went down the road. And that was appalling. He said, for a start, it starts off with they get big scabs all over their body. And then it spreads from that to where the hair falls off, both the head and then off the face and their beard and eyelashes. And then after that, their nails grow loose and fall off. And then their joints grow loose and their finger ends drop off. And finally, they're only left with stumps that end at the wrist and then at the elbow, as the joints are affected by this horrible disease, which in a leisurely way eats up the person. Their gums disappear and their teeth drop out. Their voice boxes are affected so they can no longer talk. They make just strange noises. It's an awful disease, and it's a picture of sin, and it's a picture of exactly what has happened to this land. It couldn't be more accurate at all. So finally their nose and their eyes and their tongue and their palate are all eaten away, and they die in misery and poverty and shame and great, great trouble. And they look after each other just in caves and in little places away from inhabitation. Now, when these lot came near to others, there were strict laws by tradition that they weren't allowed within 10 paces. And the people stoned them if they came near. They wouldn't allow them anywhere near. So they often stood a long distance away. Now, that's why it says, he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They didn't dare come near, and they lifted up their voices. It literally means they shouted. Now, that means the leprosy hadn't gone as far as affecting the voice box. They shouted out as loud as they could, said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They use a strange word for master there, not usually used, but it's a perfectly good word. And what they're saying is, Jesus has mastery over all things. Jesus, they say, the master rabbi, have mercy on us. They'd heard about him, they knew about him, and they knew that he'd cured other lepers. And that's why they all came in a group. There must have been a pathetic sight, standing there with their stumps of arms and their foul rags, all crying out with as loud as they could together, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Do you know, I believe that if we could really see the men and women around us, leprosy is like sin. Sins made them without minds and without eyesight, spiritually without ears to hear God's word. Sins just eaten away every part of them, and they finally turn into horrible people because of sin. And many old people are rejected by others simply because they're so awkward and difficult. You try talking to some of them. They are others who, sweetened by the Lord Jesus, are wonderful, and you cannot admire them enough. But those who've refused the Lord Jesus, when it all comes down to it, they're just like the lepers. They're unwanted because they're unpleasant. Oh, how terrible sin is. Sin is something which has ruined the human race. Well, now, as they stood there afar off, that the lepers, as they cried to him, wanted one thing from him, and that was healing. They didn't mind what they got, as long as they got healing. They were prepared to stand the village shouting at them and driving them away. Now, I want to show you something. They lifted up their voices, and when he saw them, now it says here he saw them, but it really means he suddenly lifted up his eyes and saw they were there. Their shouting attracted them. Do you see what that means? It means Jesus was a man, just like you and me. He had all the same temptations. He, in one sense, He was no different at all to you and me. Now, Jesus is our high priest, but he is a high priest who knows all our weaknesses because he's been a man. And he sympathizes, and he took our nature to the throne of God in heaven. So Jesus knows all the temptations you suffer from. He himself has suffered from the very same things. So he's a high priest who can sympathize with us, not a high priest who just stands afar off and is holier than thou. He knows everything we've suffered, and you can show him the worst about yourself, and he has no difficulty about it. He isn't physically sick when he sees and smells our horrible leprosy. He knows about it. That is the thing. So when he says he suddenly saw them, it means he wasn't omniscient. He saw them at some distance. He was an ordinary man, and he saw them, and he wasn't put off. Don't ever think Jesus is put off. Don't ever be afraid if you fall to go back to him and tell him all the worst about yourself. He knows, and he cares, and he'll do his everything for you. He said to them, oh, he said something very surprising. He didn't say you're healed. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, Jesus walked all that distance because he wanted to find those 10 men. He'd come to find them. He came as a shepherd seeking the lost sheep. He's not interested in all the righteous people. He's interested in sinners, stinking, ragged, filthy, evil sinners. That's who he came to save, and those are the people he loves, and those are the people he wants to help. So the Lord Jesus, he was quite prepared to speak to them. Now what he said to them was, go. He didn't say, come to me, and that's very surprising. But you remember to the man he threw all the devils out of among the Gergesenes, he said, go. He didn't let him come. And to each one of us, the Lord Jesus has said, go. He drives us from him. And the result is that when we're saved, one of the things that happens to us very quickly is we wonder if anything's happened to us at all. Because the Lord Jesus seems to have driven us away, and there's no sign of him, and we can't see him, and we can't love him like we should do. We feel terrible. We said, go. Go away. Show yourselves to the priest. Now, do you see how wonderfully he does it? When he says, go show yourself to the priest, he is a physician, a doctor,